Our next song for tonight will be number 259, The Cleansing Wave. This song may not be too familiar. We've sung it recently, but not in the last year. Number 259, The Cleansing Wave. Song will be number 456. I belong to the King. Number 456.
I belong to the King. I'm a child of
Thank you.
At this time, we're going to take a love offering for Aika Okado, and just excited to reiterate again the desire of her heart to go back to her own people. And even though she's been here in the States and spent some time here and learned English and all the possibilities that could be here, it's the burden that God's placed in her life to move her toward that goal. And so it's our privilege, really is our honor, to participate in furthering the gospel and helping her on her way. So we're going to have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Tom. Russell, would you mind praying for offering now?
Your heart does the fear.
Well, there's one surefire way that you know that the Holy Spirit has your heart and your body and soul. So when you're singing, you do this. So, no. I'm just teasing. All right, I hope you got some of the words of that song. Oh, me. You'll notice the screens are black. Oh, my. We're not going to 1 Peter tonight. So I want you to turn, first of all, we're going to look at three passages. The first one is going to be starting off in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Told you at our business meeting that I had somewhat of a burden to preach in terms of preparation. And I hope that this message will help lay out what that burden looks like. And in regards to our building program. And it began here in Haggai chapter 1 with Brother Swanson preaching on this message. And I really appreciated the application that he made. It was not to a building program. But it just kind of leaped off the page that at that very time, I was saying the very same things in my heart that the people of Israel were in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. And the people were saying, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And there's an element that the Lord began to speak to me about that and say, wait a second, maybe the Lord does want us to get this thing started. And as soon as you try to lead something, there's always the possibility of failure. And so that's always a little bit, it's easier not to lead than it is to lead. And so like, well, I really want to make sure this is of the Lord. And I felt like the Lord did give some confirmation to us that I think this is the right perspective that can help us. God wants us to build a building. I take that from, you say, how do you know that God wants? Well, I look at the early church, and they said, it seemeth good to the Holy Ghost and to you. They said, we can tell what the Holy Spirit is doing because he's doing it in our midst. And they knew what the Holy Spirit wanted to be done because they had presented it to the people, and the people of the church had moved and said, yes, this is what we believe it should be done. And so there's an element to say, we took a vote on this. And the people of God said, we believe that this is what God wants us to do. Now, just as an aside, before we really get started, I think it's important that we recognize the difference between our building and this building. This building has incredible significance because it is the place where God's presence would dwell. In terms of Jesus Christ came in fulfillment of that temple tabernacle, and the amazing event is that each and every one of us have the full significance of a temple because we are the dwelling place of God. But that does not mean that we shouldn't build a building and that we can't use a building for the Lord's glory and for his benefit. And so I think that there is an aspect to which, even though the objective aspect of this, our building out there, does not have the same significance, it's still a building that is going to be dedicated to what? To the Lord. And it's going to be used in this age and in this time for the furtherance of the gospel. And so I believe there's an aspect to which God would like us to look at verse 8 here. He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. As we stand on the edge of a verge of a building program, there is a sense in my heart that I'm a little bit nervous. Because did you know that you can go through a building program and it not be a benefit to the church? It can actually be a drag. It can be a distraction. It can be a place of division and divisiveness. first building program that I was a part of as a kid was we grew up in a church that met in a school. And so every week we'd come in, set the tables, the chairs up, set the podium up, bring the piano out. And we'd met in the school, and we'd set the sign up. One of my jobs was to, when I was big enough, was I could take the sign, carry it out there, get it spread out, let people know we're having church. So it was a part of us that we did that for about 12 years. The Lord gave us enough people that we could save up enough money, and we bought some land, and we started a building project. And we poured the concrete. And I don't remember the man's name, probably good, so I don't even say the man's name. I'm sure he's long past by now. But he came out and said, wait a second, the plumbing's not right. This needs to be this way and that way. And there was kind of a little bit of argument, and he walked off the site, never returned again. That's the way it all goes. That's not, it went down. And not saying it was that way all the way through it, but it was just an element of saying, whoa, here's someone that was a part of our church, and now they're gone because of division, because of fleshliness and that aspect. And so there's an element that, you know, things, I've seen it. I've seen things go south and aspect of along those lines. But you know what? There is a way that you can build a building program that glorifies God. It is actually something that is a spiritual journey for us as the people of God. That we can see the hand of the Lord among us as we do this. God says, I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. You think God is glorified by this church and this community? I think it is. I knock on people's doors. I talk to people who don't know anything about our church. But they see you coming. They see the parking lot full. They see the children running around outside. They see the fellowship on Wednesday night. And we are a testimony to the Lord that they are seeing. It's interesting to me. It's fun to go through and read a little bit of the building history over there in the old church. Another aspect in three different building projects over there, I understand. This building project right here. And every one of those is chronicled and the steps along those lines. And here we have an opportunity. In our day, in our generation, I'm going to say there's probably everybody that is 10 years old and younger in this room has not seen us go through a building project here. They haven't seen. And there's an aspect of, I think about that in terms of the Psalms talk about this. Lord, show yourself strong to this generation in this time. Not saying that the three-year-olds are going to understand all that's going on, but you say, well, who are the 5 and 6-year-olds 10 years ago? Well, now they're 17 and 20, and there's an opportunity for God to use this in such a way in our hearts to not just build a building, but to build our faith. And so I'd like us to look at some scriptures here tonight. They're going to help us. We're going to come back to Haggai, look at the significance, but I want us to turn over to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. This is the beginning of the section that talks about they need to build a tabernacle for the Lord. It was just material. It was just physical things. But there was something spiritual that was going on in the heart of God's people. Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. All right, so God on one side says, I command an offering to be brought. And at the other side, he says, these are the only people that I want to come and bring an offering. It is those that give it willingly with the heart. So then God lists out the things that he needs. The gold, the silver, the brass, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine linen, the goat's hair, the ram skin dyed red, the badger skin, the shittim wood, oil for light, spices, sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate. It says, make me a sanctuary. Now, God gives a list of building materials. But I'm going to tell you, those building materials were not the things in terms of the average, ordinary folks. You want gold? You want silver? You think that ram skin dyed red was something that everybody had, or was that a very nice item for the house of the Lord? All right, so what he's asking for in the request here are expensive items. But he said, I don't want anybody to feel guilty about it. I want you to give because you are willing. So now, that being said, I think there's an aspect that we say God does not build his work on the back of unwilling servants. He does it through people who are willing, because that's the nature of his kingdom. He didn't drag Abraham down to the promised land. He gave a command, but it was Abraham's desire to see that place. Moses' desire was to see God's people come out of the promised land. The Bible says that he could have enjoyed the pleasures and sin for a season in Pharaoh's house, but he chose to suffer with the people of God. It was Daniel's willingness to pray in the face of death. What do I mean by that? The point here is, when is God glorified? When his people respond willingly. It's within their own heart. And if God forces and gets his servants and we get to heaven and all these people are like, oh man, I wish I didn't have to be here. I wish I didn't have to praise God. I wish I didn't have... That would not reflect well upon him. But no, the nature of the kingdom of God is that the people of God come willingly to him. How did you come in salvation? Whosoever will. You came. He drew you. He loved you. And yet God's people respond. God's not going to make you obey. You must choose to obey. God wants us to make this step in which we respond willingly, and when we have a willing heart, it reflects well upon him. So how did the people respond? Let's turn over to chapter 35. And this is the passage that really struck my heart and sent me on this search. Exodus 35 and verse 20. And we find the people's response to God's command. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Why are they dispersing? So they can go get the things that are needed. Verse 21, it says, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all of his service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Everybody that offered, who came willingly, offered some gold. There was nobody within this whole aspect that says, you know what? They're all doing gold, but I'm going to bring something. Everybody to a man who made these offerings said, I'm going to give my very best. That's incredible. And he says, and every man with whom was found, so they went back to their house and their tent, and they said, oh, here's something blue, and here's something purple, and here's something scarlet, and fine linen, and goat skin, and red skins of rams, and badger skin. What did they do with them? They said, ah, we can use this for the Lord. And it says, and they brought them. And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it, very sturdy wood. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers Here's people that are a little more wealthy in terms of this. They brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplates. You know that the breastplate's going to have 12 different stones, rubies, and other things like that. They didn't find them and dig them up on the way. The people had them, and they brought them to the Lord. And it says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Do you get the spirit that was going on there? Do you see the emphasis of the text? It was constantly mentioning that nobody brought anything grudgingly. Everyone was excited. Everyone was joyful, and they were of willing heart that they could do something for the Lord and for the Lord's house. So that is a foundational passage. I want us to look at one other passage that will even help explain this one, and we're going to see the same phenomenon take place. So turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So if it happened once, okay, that happened in Scripture. But it happening again and seeing how it happens, I think can really help us to see this is what God is pleased with. This is what God takes pleasure in and glorifies Him. And I said, I'm in 2 Chronicles. We need to be in 1 Chronicles. So if you're reading about Hezekiah, you need to turn over a book. 1 Chronicles 29. So forgive me, we're going to read a portion here, but this is a beautiful aspect. I want you to catch this. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now you see his example. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, and the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistening stones, divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, and of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And he demands to describe the gold and the sacrifice that he made. So David comes out and says, here is my heart. God has called us to build him a house. And he said, my affection, my heart is set on accomplishing this goal. There's an aspect to which if we see this as an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel and for us to have a greater ability to reach our community, to have more space and to be able to have more room and to be able to use it for reaching children and just all that we plan to use it for, there's an aspect I see no reason why you and I cannot say that we can say, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. I have set mine affection for the house of my God. That we're doing it for the Lord because He sees what is in our hearts. There's an aspect to which the leader himself must set forth an example. There's an element to me within my own heart. Even back within this, I say, you know what? God wants me personally to make a sacrifice for this particular building. And there's lots of things you can think about. You can say, well, the building will probably get old someday. It'll probably get torn down, and you can come up with all kinds of different things. But you know what? Just look over at that building over there. It's been there for 109 years. Of course, it was built in 1890. Let's go through that a little bit, all right? Church met at the schoolhouse. Schoolhouse was built in 1870. The church started in 1871. The first building was built in 1891. The building that's there, the railing inside of that building is from the original building on the inside, the banister aspect at the front of the pulpit. I call that, if I understand it correctly. It was hit by a tornado in 1916. Was propped up, rebuilt, I should say. Wrong words. Rebuilt, except, and they used some of what they could, but and it's built sturdy. I mean, if you walk up and through there, you're looking at some of those trusses and the things, the way they built the bell tower. I'm thinking, they don't make things like this anymore. This thing is incredible. I think there's an aspect, I lose some of the dates as we get into it. I think the first addition onto that is in the 1950s. I might be wrong about that. Anybody that knows something about that? There was an additional one that built off. The doors were not there in the back of that auditorium. They were made. There was an addition that went back. Then they went further back in terms of where my office is and where the classroom is. And then in 1980s, something like that, that's when they built the basement and the house across up on top of it. And then in 2016, but there's an aspect, well, let's see here, 2009, right, is when they started, something like that. And then basically up till, you could say we were still working on stuff when we came, but when we came here, it was a fully functional, I think it was like 2012 or 2013, first started meeting in here. Somebody sacrificed to make that happen. What we enjoy right here tonight, the gospel going forth, is because people have said, we want the word of God to go forward. And God's going to reward that. God's going to reward, nothing is permanent. Remember how we talked about that 2 weeks ago? Nothing is permanent except for God's word. Everything here is going to deteriorate and fall away. But while we have an opportunity and while we have a chance, we can say, God can look at us and say, here's an opportunity to move forward. And I'm excited that I get to be a part of this church's history in the next phase for what God's going to do. And if God wants to do something bigger than what we even can imagine or think through this church, and there's aspect, there's lots of things God could do. I think God has led us to do this first, and there's certain things we just can't do until we accomplish what God's led us to do here. So that's another part of it that says, I hope it doesn't drag on out forever, but I don't think it will. And there's an aspect of, I don't know if I have a direct word from God on that aspect, but I'm confident to trust Him and what He's going to do. And so I want to let you know, I'm not necessarily going to list the amount that God has led me to make a sacrifice for that building. And you know what? I should tell you, on the first Sunday night of October, we're going to have a sacrificial Sunday. If you're not a part of our church and you're just here visiting, well, no, I'm not putting any pressure on anyone. I just want someone that says, you know what? I want to be a part. I want my name, not in terms of, for the aspect of, you know, we're not writing down names and putting up plaques for the glory of man, but there's an element of God knows and God sees and He's watching. Where is my heart? Now let's see how this works out. So we see that he stops here. And it says in verse 6, after David stood up and said, this is the sacrifice that I want to make, and I prepare, and my heart is toward this. Verse 6 says, then the chief of the fathers, and the princes of the tribes, and the captains, and the thousands of the hundreds, and the rulers of the king's work, what did they do? They offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. And he lifts all these things. And part of the reason why these things are mentioned here, and I didn't go through the work to find out the equivalences and things, but the point of listing the amounts is to say, look what God did. It says, verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found. Does that sound familiar to you? That sounds just like when they built the tabernacle. Same idea. Gave them the treasure of the house of the Lord. And it says in verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, and we're going to look at that prayer in just a moment, to see the theological aspect, but I want you to see the connection. Do you see the connection between the building of the tabernacle and the building of the temple? There was an element of joy and anticipation that they could be a part and do something for their God in a very tangible way. And this is the prayer of David. He said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Oh, he's getting full of the Lord here. And he says, "For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." He is filled with thanksgiving to God. What is he so happy and excited? What has caused him to praise God Almighty? Look at verse 14. "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So first of all, he is just excited that, you know what? We're insignificant people. We're nobodies. I'm glad that David had that heart. He had that heart when he got king, and he had this heart at the very end of his reign. Who am I? And who are your people? That we should be able to do something for the great God of this universe. That we could give. Hey, no, like you own it all. And I can't give you anything that you don't already own. I can only give to God what is God's already. That's really powerful. I'm sorry. I didn't turn my thing on. Verse 15. "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store," this is what he said, "which we have prepared to build thee an house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hath pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee." What is he so excited about? He's excited that they have rallied together to build this house, and they have willingly, joyfully offered of these sacrifices. And he says, "God, I want you to keep them always in this state of mind. Always, so that they care and have this intention and these thoughts by which they would love you so much to give." And he says, "Prepare their heart unto thee." Through this offering, God had knit and was using that as something to draw his people closer to himself. It was an opportunity by which they professed their love for God and by which he grew their love for him. And it says down in verse 20, "And David said unto all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King." There's an aspect to which you see in this, the abundance and the sacrifice that they gave. And now there's an element that says, you know what? God wants to do that in our hearts. He wants us by leading us. You say, what did God want? He wants everyone to offer willingly of their own heart. And yet David is able to turn around and say, God, you did this. We know that you're in our midst. We know that your hand of blessing upon us. You are drawing us closer and closer to you because of what we see through
this project and the way that people have responded to that. So, again, I put it out there and say, God only wants those who will come and offer willingly. If you have reservations, if you have misgivings, don't give. But if your heart is filled with a desire to say, God, I want to see you in our midst. I want to see the gospel go forth, and I want to make a sacrifice for you that will show my love to you. An aspect as a father, I want to show my children a sacrifice to say, okay, this is what we want to see happen to go forward. We need roughly about $145,000 to start that project. And I would bet across this room, no one thinks that we could take up an offering of $145,000. I wouldn't think that. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, isn't it? But God is able. I'm not going to look at a number as being the abundance, but what's really fascinating is back in Exodus, God told him and said, tell the people to stop. We've got too much. Turn around. Your gifts are not welcome. I don't know if we're going to do that. Halfway up the offering, stop. Okay, well, turn around, take it back. No, I think there's an aspect. We need more than $145,000 just to go on and finish it and those things. I'm not calling for a particular number or anything like that. I'm just saying I think it's a big, big number. I think if God did something on a scale of half of that, that would be shocking to me. But there's an element that says, but who knows what the Lord does? When He stirs in our hearts and we give with such a willingness to the Lord that says, you know what, this is not natural, but this is supernatural. And we can look around and stare at each other and say, my faith has grown because of God in you, and because of God in you, and because of your willingness and your desire. And you know what, you may come with just a small, but it's a sacrifice for you. What's interesting, he says, men and women. Everyone. There's an element that the text makes very clear in Exodus. It wasn't actually just that everyone who was willing, but everyone who gave was willing, but everyone gave. And the entire congregation was moved as one person. And you say, that's God. And so that's what I'm praying for. I'm not praying for a specific number. I'm honestly not. I am praying that our faith will grow. I'm praying that our heart would make a spiritual sacrifice, that it would be an element of love. And I am excited about what God... I'm terrified at first, but I'm excited about what God wants me to do. And I can't wait for October 1st to come. So, I mean, the first Sunday in October to come, so that we can give that gift to the Lord. I'm just going to take us back to Haggai. Oh, we're almost done. This will be the last thing. Just want to point to the encouragement that he gives. If you'll come over, the people decided to obey Haggai and the message that God said, and so a message came. In verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, two men that God had led to lead the people, the high priest and the leader there. And he says, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Why? Can we say it together? For I am with you, saith the Lord. He's going to go in and going to make certain statements here within this context. And he's going to say in verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. I control it all. I own it all. Do you think God's resources, 145,000, is small to Him? Absolutely. When He owns all of Buffett and Gates and Soros and all these people you want to talk about, God owns it all. It's all His. You say, why is God's people so poor? Because God's wise. And He knows what is best for us. There's an aspect that says, but you know what? God wants to grow our faith. Maybe it'll take us a year and a half to get the money to start it. And that's okay. God wants us to pray. And He wants us to believe and keep trusting Him. And God may give us enough in one Sunday so that we can make a phone call and say, we're ready. By God's grace and God moving in our midst, we are ready to move forward and to start in the spring and see God begin this work that we have seen, that we know God wants to do in our midst. And so I'm excited to see. I have no clue. I'm not making a prophecy. I'm not going to beat the drum. I may preach one more message to prepare our hearts for this aspect. There won't be a lot of pomp and circumstance. But there's an aspect I want us, if you'll take this passage to heart and say, I want to be like the people of old. I didn't get to be there on the day they took an offering for the sanctuary. And I didn't get to be there for the offering which they took up for the temple. And I didn't get to be here when they built that church building over there in 1916. And I wasn't here in the 1950s or the 1980s, but I'm here today. God, I want to give to You because I love You for Your salvation and for Your blessings. May God help us. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that You would work a supernatural spirit within us that would make us willing. Lord, I know that You're going to test us. And every person that determines to give may experience a financial setback within the next month. May experience a financial squeeze. May feel the impossibility or another need. But Lord, I pray that we would not do this flippantly, but that we would do it with much prayer. And that we would see our spirit stir us up and our hearts make us willing because You are our God. Would You glorify Yourself and build this building through willing servants of Yours? Lord, You've told us that whatever we give to You, Lord, we are investing, Lord, for all of eternity. So, Lord, we look forward to that day when You will reward and You will bless for what we are able to do for You in this day, in this age. We pray in Jesus' name.